time to begin our political forum on this Friday, Valentine's Day, and Nelda Speaks, State Representative Nelda Speaks, and Paige Dillard Evans, who's City Council member, and they're both vying for District 100. And they'll be answering questions, and it's brought to you this morning by H&R Block, your local H&R Block Tax Return Preparation and Accounting Services. And we're pleased to have both of you in with us this morning. Appreciate you coming in. We'll start as your name appears on the ballot, and you're at the top of the ballot. So we'll have opening statements this morning, and we'll start with Nelda. Nelda, go ahead.
Thank you, Bob, for having this forum today. I am State Representative Nelda Speaks. It's been one of the highest honors of my life to serve the citizens of District 100, and I want to continue serving you. I've been a strong conservative voice. I believe in smaller government, less taxes. I am pro-life, will always protect our Second Amendment rights, and stand against all red flag laws. The most important thing as a legislator is serving the people. I have helped over 300 families and making sure that all their needs are met. I hope you come away from this forum with a better understanding about the difference between my opponent and myself. I am State Representative Nelda Speaks. Thank you, Bob.
Paige?
Again, I want to thank you, Bob, and H&R Block for sponsoring this. My name is Paige Dillard Evans, and I'm a resident here in Mountain Home. I grew up here. This is my hometown. I love this place, and it became quite evident that we need an effective voice in Little Rock. I am very thankful for my upbringing. I've enjoyed visiting with folks in this community. I believe that the experience I have over the years has got me to the point where I have the characteristics to be able to go down to Little Rock and fight for the people of this community. I would look forward to this forum and answering questions, and I would, you know, enjoy doing that. So we're ready for it.
Here we go. First question, and it will go to Nelda. Highway tax. In November, Arkansas voters will decide if the state keeps its half-cent sales tax for roads. Statewide voters approved the half-cent tax in 2012, and it's set to expire in 2023. But unlike 2012, this fall voters will be asked to approve a constitutional amendment that would make Arkansas's half-cent sales tax for highways and roads permanent. When this measure was first proposed in 2012, Baxter County voters rejected it. In November, they'll have their say again. Nelda, where do you stand on the extension of half-cent sales tax for roads?
Well, the way it's written right now, I voted against it. For the simple fact, it is a we did promise the people, or they did when they came out, that it would be have a sunset clause. And I feel like we should let that sunset clause take effect and have had a new bill on the ballot for people to vote for. This is a constitutional amendment that's going to be forever in our Constitution, and I just could not support that.
Paige?
I believe that the sales tax should be voted on by the people. If it was presented that way, then the people can make the decision. I personally do not believe that it needs to be a constitutional amendment, but I do believe that if it needs to go to the people to be voted upon.
Paige, next question for you. Governor Hutchinson has agreed to allow refugees into Arkansas. In a letter, he said Arkansans have a history of welcoming refugees. His decision comes after President Trump signed an executive order giving states the right to refuse to allow refugees. But there's been pushback from the governor's position. What is your position on allowing refugees in Arkansas?
You know, I was in a House meeting last night, and we discussed this specifically, and it was one of those things where they said that they had heard that communities had the ability to vote upon that, that each community had the mayor or the county judge had the ability to say if they wanted to receive those refugees into the community or not. I haven't had an opportunity to look into that specifically, but, my understanding is there's a vetting process for these refugees. you know, again, I believe that this should be something that the community should decide upon. It's not something that our governor should just make the overall decision for our state.
Nelda, your position on allowing refugees in Arkansas?
I really am against it. I feel like we have elderly people that's trying to make decisions of whether they buy food, do they buy medicine. And I think we're just bringing more people in to take care of. And so I was totally against it.
Okay, Medicaid. We may have some back and forth on this one. Nelda, Arkansas's approach to the Affordable Care Act initiative of the Obama administration, gaining passage in the 2013 session, continues to evolve. What was once known as the private option has taken the name of Arkansas Works, compelling many people to work in exchange for public health insurance. That change was blocked by a federal judge. Last month, President Trump issued block grants to the states called Healthy Adult Opportunity. Block grants, or per capita cap, are designed to give states more flexibility in the delivery of services. Governor Hutchinson says the block grants Arkansas should have more flexibility in managing, one of the most expensive items in the state's budget, and in managing the delivery of health care services. According to the governor, we will immediately begin to review the specific model and guidelines that the Trump administration issued today to see how they would fit into Arkansas's type approach for providing health care to the expanded Medicaid population. That is a very long question. But what is an Arkansas-type approach to providing health care in Arkansas through Medicaid?
I was against that when it first came out because I felt that our state was not going to be able to afford it. And we have seen that that has happened. We've got come down now. We're having to meet our match, and we're having to take people off. But the big thing was it's a Medicaid expansion. And we've got able-bodied working adults that's more made them more dependent on our government. And so that's why I just cannot go along with it.
Okay, Paige.
That was one of the issues when I first decided to run for this position that had been brought to me. And we have a very amazing facility in our community, Baxter Regional Medical Center. It's been a great thing for our community to have. It employs over 1,900 people and provides services to over 14 counties. And, you know, when you have the leadership of the hospital as well as the Arkansas Hospital Association saying that this would be detrimental to rural hospitals, that it would shut them down if that funding was not passed, then, you know, you have to look at what's best for your community. You need to listen to what the people in the community need. And I believe that if we would have, if this bill would not have passed, if the Medicaid expansion bill would not have passed, I think that we would have seen some things happen in our community. I know the figure has been thrown out about $3 million that it would have cost our hospital. And so I believe that that would have cut services, that would have made us lose doctors and nurses, and we can't afford to do that. That's one of the most important staples of our community. And, you know, that money is coming from, it's our taxpayer dollars coming from the federal government. So it was going to go somewhere. It was either going to go to another state or whatever. So it is what it is. That program is a federal, it's a federal program. And so why not let that money go ahead and come to us?
I'd like to address that. She's wrong on the part where that money would have gone somewhere else. It would not have done that. We have seen, even from this small hospitals that have had to close, we've got one of the best hospitals. I've worked with this hospital, proud of it. Mm-hmm. And they will even tell you it's been even devastating to them that they'd rather go back to what we had before.
I will have to disagree on that. I've had continued talks with them. I actually have a piece of paper here from the Arkansas Hospital Association, and it shows misspeaks votes against the hospital five times. She didn't just vote once, but she voted five times against it. And so, again, they have to be able to survive. And if that funding would not have come to them, there would have been cuts.
Well, her five times happened to be when the budget comes up and it will be, we voted it down and then it came back up. So I just have stayed true to what I promised the people when I ran. I don't flip-flop on things. I absolutely will stay with what I promised the people, and I still believe it. I believed it back then, and that's why I can vote against it.
Okay. I believe you should listen to the people that you're representing, and when they say that this is needed and it could be, you know, that would have, you know, you have to look at things a little farther into the future. So if that would have happened to our community, that's 1,900 employees. That's the largest employer in our community. So if we would have lost doctors or nurses, we would have cut the healthcare services to our elderly here, again, to the people that come into our community, that would have affected our tax bill. Base. It goes deeper than just at the surface. So you have to look farther into how that would have affected our community.
Okay, we worked that one over well enough. Let's move on. Paige, red flag. During the last legislative session, some lawmakers tried unsuccessfully to pass a so-called red flag law, giving law enforcement the ability to request an individual's gun rights. Right to be temporarily restricted based on mental health concerns. Governor Hutchinson has said he recognizes the ongoing national debate on red flag laws and continues to review and study various proposals, leading some to say he is open to the possibility. But he says he has yet to see a bill that adequately protects Second Amendment rights of citizens and sufficiently protects due process. Paige, if a bill is proposed in the 2021 session, where do you stand at this point on red flag laws?
I'm completely against red flag laws. I'm a strong protector of the Second Amendment. I believe that we need to preserve the Constitution. And, of course, the Second Amendment is one of those things there. So I would stand strong against any red flag law.
Nelda?
I fought it when they even brought it up. I believe it's just a time that they can try to take our guns away from us. And it, we have the law that our Constitution says that we are not guilty until they prove that we are guilty. And this red flag law, what it does, it takes away that. Because if somebody says, your neighbor said, you know, I'm afraid of that person, and there's things going on with them, they can come right in and take your guns with this. And then you have to prove your innocence. And I don't believe that that's the way the Constitution has been written up. I think we have some rights, and so I cannot and will not support any red flag laws.
I'm in agreement, yes.
Voting choices. Nelda, when casting votes as a representative of the residents of House District 100, would your top priority be the position of your constituents or your conscience? Would you deviate from your campaign platform promises?
I will not deviate from my platform promises because what I promise is things that I can do, and I will not do that. One of the things that I have to do, there is so many different things, medical. I know nothing about medical. I reach out to a doctor to find out, is this a good bill? I've had people contact me, and so far, I think I've always supported what they've asked me to do, but I will not deviate from what I stand for.
It would be one of those things to say you had campaign promises. I don't believe that you should ever have a promise to the people because you do not know the situations that you're going to be faced with. Things change. The climate changes. There's a constant change in government. And so to make a promise or say you're going to do something specifically. Now, there are certain issues on the conservative side that you would be very adamant for. Mine would be the protection of life. It would be the Second Amendment. It would be protection protecting the Constitution, and it would be representing the people of District 100. And so that's where it's not what I believe, but it's what I would get the input from the people here and then make a good decision, go. And again, you know, we aren't experts in every position. We need to go out and reach out to those that do know it, that are affected by it. You know, that's something I've did as a city council member. If ordinances have come up, then whoever it affects, I will go and speak to them and find out what their thoughts are, and you know, try to do my best to represent what the need is for that particular group at that particular time.
I do believe they've sent us down there to make decisions, I know that there are things that come up, and sometimes it overloads our emails. And I do. I listen to that, what's going on. But there are things such as the pro-life and abortions. I'm totally against abortions. And so I have never promised anything but that. I stand true to what I don't promise things, but because of that, you get down there and you will find out that there are some things that you wish you hadn't done that. So I've never done that.
Paige, striking the balance. When the majority of the constituents you would represent want you to vote in opposition to the majority or the governor, and some then say the district is penalized, what is your response to those individuals?
That would be one of those things where it would be a case-by-case basis. But, you know, if the people of this district want something, I'm not there to represent a party. I'm not there to represent a political agenda. I'm there to represent the people of this community, the people that have voted me into that office. And so I would stand strong. And if that required me to stand up against the majority or those in leadership, then that's what would be required.
Nelda?
I have stood up against the majority, and I have stood up against the governor, not to be mean or do anything like that. I will represent my constituents. I will stand true to them. I have so many people that come to me, and they said, you have represented us well. And so I stand true to what I believe in, what I know that our constituents want. I don't care who it is. I don't always vote with the Republicans, but the most of the things that Republicans stand for, I am true to them and to my constituents. I think we are a Republican area here, and so what my votes will show that.
I will say this. I think that you can also notice some of the votes will reflect about how the money that comes to your campaign is trickled down in the way your votes have been made based upon who you receive your campaign donations from. So, you know, that in itself, we have an issue. We have an issue down in Little Rock that the lobbyists are running Little Rock. When you can receive over $23,000 in PAC money from special interest for one campaign, such as my opponent, I believe that you cannot represent the people fairly, because you're receiving money from special interest groups, and I would think that that's where your loyalty would lie, because they're the ones that are helping get you reelected. So I have concern about that. Again, that's one of the things that have come up very clearly as I began to look at this position and the things that are needed. And so that particular issue concerns me.
I believe she doesn't have anything to back up what she's saying. I have stood up against lobbyists. The things that's most of my money that have come in have been from the medical, and so it has nothing. I will never go with what the lobbyists ask. In fact, this past time, people that I call my friend, I stood up to them and I said, it was over something they had in a bill, and I said, in our city, county, local, and I also stated, I will not vote for this unless this is out of this bill. So I look out for the citizens of Baxter County. Lobbyists has no part in my decisions whatsoever.
I'll have to disagree with that. The 23 PACs that you have received money from in this particular election, I haven't had time to go back and review all of the PACs that you received money from previous campaigns. But it's very evident that there is a correlation, and that is available on the Arkansas Secretary of State's webpage, and you can go into campaign reporting. So I want to know who really does influence your vote. Is it the people of District 100, or is it special interest groups in Little Rock? That's my question.
I believe she should ask the people out here that's voting me in. And I think you need to make clear what you're talking about. Where did I vote with them? Now, there are times that they do come to us and they tell us things and you check it out. And if you want to say I vote with them, that's okay. But Farm Bureau, they have a lobbyist down there that I lean on. I've known this man for years, and I don't know about the farming, and I appreciate having Pitchford down there where he can direct me and tell me how is this going to affect our farmers. And so I've done that with everything else. But I think if you're going to accuse me of taking money and being, you need to make an example of
it. The hog farm over on the Buffalo River, that's one specific, the CNH hog farm. It was very clear. I've did some research in regards to that, and I think even before they were able to give that permit, they knew that hog farm was not going to be a good thing there. It was based upon the acreage and how many hogs were going to be on it and the type of waste that those hogs were going to excrete. So they had a formula in place. And there's paperwork and there's depositions that show that at the beginning. So you've went back in and voted not to protect our the Buffalo River with a moratorium to be able to go in and protect that. So, with your Farm Bureau, with having money from them, there's also...
I didn't get no money from Farm Bureau.
There's PACs that actually, they're called super PACs. And what these super PACs are is where you go in and there's several different organizations. It could have 15 or 20 different organizations, and until you dig deeper into what those organizations are, you just see that it could be the JAG PAC, or it could be the ARK PAC. So those all, the DBH Consulting, which is a lobbyist in Little Rock, and they represent everything from CVS Pharmacy to Arkansas Chiefs Association, the Police Chiefs Association. So there's a variety of all those things. So you have to dig deeper. So, again, 23 PACs at $23,000 is just, it seems a little excessive.
Well, I wasn't even there, Bob, when the hog farm was done. That was done under a whole different administration. I do believe that when we have a governor that had a point that gave them along with that they could put that there. I felt those people need to be protected. Their finances need to be protected. And we have, from the University of Arkansas, we have scientists that came and presented to us and proved to us that there was nothing there, that from all of that, it was happening even down below that. So I have not received any funds that was protecting them at all. I wanted to protect the people that we had told them they could put that in there. And I'm thankful that our governor has come back and took care of them and reimbursed them, which I felt should have been done. I don't care who it was or what situation, because I think we need, as government, to stand behind our word.
Okay, moving forward, I've lost my place.
I'm sorry.
I think Nelda, is it Nelda next?
I think. Yes.
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
What is needed at the state level to position District 100 for the future, or is the answer a local one? If it is a state-supported need, what do people tell you specifically should be done, Nelda? You want me to read that?
That's kind of confusing. What is
needed at the state level to position District 100 for the future, or is the answer a local one? If it is a state-supported need, what do people tell you specifically should be done?
I think that's more of a local level, and I think in order, I'm going to go into some grants. You know, we have people that are applying for grants, bringing money back into our district, and so I think more it's left up to the individual to look out there to find out. And I have helped people find grants, but also that where their needs are. So I think more that what you're talking about would be on a local level for them to reach out to us to help as a legislator to help them at the state level.
You know, one of the things that I recognized is that we need to have a better dialogue going. And so as your Arkansas State Representative, I would begin that dialogue. I would meet with those people. I believe there needs to be a plan in place. We've not had a plan in place over the last several years for this. And I think that if we get government officials, healthcare officials, the school, the small businesses, gather those people together to develop a plan to find out what it is that's making it hard for them to do business in Arkansas. What are on the books right now that we need to look at those laws and see if there's some changes that need to be made to make it easier for them to do business in Arkansas. And then look at the what's in the future. What does the city of Mountain Home need? What does the county need? And so begin to put a plan in place to work with those agencies in Little Rock to be able to bring that money back to this community, but already have a plan in place. You know, I've already been paying attention to the opioid settlement. I believe we will have settlement dollars coming. In October of 2020 is when the litigation, I believe, will begin. But I've already been discussing, what do we need to be getting in place here in District 100? There's already some great things that are happening. Put those things all in place. Find out what it is that we're going to need to be able to go down to Little Rock and say, we need that some of that money to come up to our area, because there are going to be other state representatives, other state senators that are going to be fighting for that. So, you know, Oklahoma just got some money from that opioid settlement. We need to take a look at how they've been dispersing their funds in Oklahoma and see here in Arkansas, but see here in our district what it is that we need to put in place. So I believe it is local. I believe we do need a plan. We do not have one, and I would be ready to put that in motion.
Well, I think that's a pipe dream. I think as a legislator, things work so different than that. There is 135 people plus a very powerful governor that's going after the same amount of money. And the way that this has to happen is going to have to be people that are needing these grants, and which I think there's a lot of them out here. We have one fire department that every year they get money. I am thankful for our fair board. I just now got through doing a letter for them so they can get money. I've worked with also our mayor, but that's where these things are going to have to come from. All of these different ones are trying to get the same amount of money, and so I think we have to do that on an individual basis as they look and see what their needs are, and they come to us. And at that point, as a legislator, I am more than happy to help them get money back into Baxter County.
I don't believe that's a pipe dream, because I do believe if you put a plan in place, then you can, of course, plans, there's change. You can always go in and navigate. But I believe that if this is what I think that I bring to the table, a unique perspective to be able to gather those people together and to begin to create a vision, because we can't just always be behind the eight ball. We can't just be like, oh, by the way, we need this. So there's no doubt in my mind that the fire departments, the city, the county, our healthcare professionals, the school system, that they have dreams. There's no doubt in my mind that they have a plan in place that it will be addressing their needs in the future. And so if we all get on the same page, and one of the things as a state representative that I will do is hold a town hall meeting on a monthly basis to allow the residents to come in and discuss their needs and to begin this dialogue and to be and to have a connection with the people. There is a disconnect between Little Rock and in our district.
We want to thank H&R Block Return Tax Return Preparation and Accounting Services for sponsoring our forum this morning. I want to appreciate both of you coming in to discuss the issues and closing statements. And Paige, you would be first.
Again, thank you, Bob. Thank you, KTLO and H&R Block, for having me. I am Paige Dillard Evans, and I am asking for your vote for Arkansas State Representative. You know, while knocking doors and visiting with the community, I've realized there is a disconnect between Little Rock and District 100. As we've discussed issues, it's quite clear that I can relate to a lot of things that each one of you face. My heart is to represent you, the people of this community. It's not about a political party or a political agenda. It's about you, the taxpayer. You can count on me to bring the same tenacity and perseverance I have used all my life in the office of state representative. The time is now, and I ask for your vote. But much more, I ask for your trust. I would be honored to serve you and look forward to amazing things that we can accomplish together. Again, I ask for your vote, and if you have any questions, I'm accessible at any time. You can call me at 870-321-1222, and that would be, I would be very honored to go to Little Rock to represent you.
Thank you, Bob and KTLO, for having this forum. Today, my opponent has not told you anything that will prepare her to be an effective legislator. There is a vast difference in my opponent and myself. She has not told you about a real job that she's held. In her first 9 months on the council, she voted for 2 water rate increases with a carryover of more than $2 million. Taxes kill economic growth. I have continually opposed higher taxes and reduced the size of government by getting rid of 830 job-killing regulations that have stifled small businesses. The knowledge I gained being the county treasurer, serving on the Quorum Court, being the district treasurer of the Norfolk School District, and also being a small business owner has prepared me to be an effective legislator. I serve on the Education Committee, working diligently to improve our public school systems. I have helped push through legislation to ensure our veterans didn't have to pay income tax on their military pensions. And I will continue to support our veterans. During my service in the legislature, I have voted for over $240 million in overall tax relief for Arkansans. I've stood strong for conservative principles, including principles of lower taxes to produce economic growth. I am State Representative Nelda Speaks, and it's been a great honor to serve the citizens of District 100. And I'm asking you for your vote to reelect me again in March the 3rd, Republican primary, as your state representative. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you. Paige, there were a couple of charges there. Did you want to reply to those about the your votes?
It would take a long time to explain it. You know, the ones that she's talking about, the increases in the water rates, in the carryover. You know, you want, it's the way that you approach that. You know, I'm not sure if she understands city government, but there, it's actually $3.2 million for the water department. And that money has to be there. It actually is there to, in case of an emergency, or it also is there to affect for bonds. If you've got bonds out there, that's going to have to be repaid. And so you're not correct on that figure. So it's actually $3.2 million. $1,000, and the rate increase was about a 60-cent rate increase and about 80 cents for commercial, 60 for resident and 80 for commercial. And you have to look at that those things where we're either going to have to do that now, or it could be 3 or 4 years down the road and it would be a $5 increase or whatever. So one of those rate increase was with Northeast Lakeside, where that's a contractual agreement. We've been in a contract agreement with them since 2012. And so for that to even have to be brought up every year to be voted on, I'm not quite sure, but that's the explanation on that.
That it was a projected the 3.2, and they also have a special which pays for their bonds and that, and that's over $2 million.
Okay, ladies, again, thank you both for coming in this morning. Early voting starts Tuesday, I believe, and of course they're out working hard for your vote, so get out and support your candidate, and early voting again starts Tuesday. And again, thank you very much. It is now 4 minutes before 9 o'clock.